I was talking with a group of pastors the other day, and I said, you know what's really hard about, I was whining. I hate whiners, and I really hate it when I'm whining, but I was whining, and I was saying, you know what's really hard about being a pastor is that it's the only occupation in all the world where who you are is just as important as what you do. And one of the other pastors looked at me and said, that's not true. It's true for all of us. It's just most of us don't believe it and need to be reminded. Who you are is as important as what you do. Now, you may say to me, if I'm a teacher, it doesn't matter what I do in my off hours. Oh, yes, it does. Or if you are a mother, oh, it doesn't matter what I do as long as I raise the kids. Right? It doesn't matter who I am. I can still be a good father. In listening to today's gospel lesson, I find this a challenge upon a challenge. More than once, I'm reminded of Mark Twain's words, it's not the parts of the Bible I don't understand, it's the parts of the Bible that I do understand. Because if you heard what Jesus is actually saying to us, you would say, go away, Jesus, we've had enough, we don't want to listen to you anymore. He says, sin is dangerous. Sin will actually cause people great harm. And in fact, if you are the cause of someone's great harm, he uses this illustration, which we've heard, that we don't even realize what he's saying. Rather than saying a hurtful word to a child, rather than tempting a child to do wrong, it would be better if I grabbed a hold of two cement blocks and jumped into the water? Does Jesus really mean that? Yes, he does. Be on your guard. Now, that's a command. That's something we're to do. We're to be ready. We're to be looking. We're to be watching out. This is to be our stance throughout the day, is to be on our guard. Now, what are we to be on our guard for? He says, here's where we have to hear it more in its original language. He says, if another disciple sins, you must rebuke the offender. Now, I know a lot of people who love to find other people's sins and point them out and find that in the other person and proclaim it loud and clear. And we do need people to remind us of that. But the word, instead of disciple, is a closer word. Yes, it means disciple, but the word originally used by Jesus is brother. And here I think a more accurate translation might be, if your brother or your sister sins. If your brother or sister is 3 years old and walking across a train trestle over a train bridge, and you don't say anything to your brother or sister, you don't say anything to a parent, and you let the child do that, and you let your brother and sister do that time and time and time again, something bad will eventually happen. Something terrible will eventually happen. That's how serious it is. When Jesus warns about sin, he doesn't start with the place of strangers and people who are far away. He starts with the person who is closest to us, our brother, our sister, our boyfriend, our girlfriend, our spouse, our parents, our children. When he says to us, if someone sins, now, at this point, you're probably saying, well, what's a sin? It's, you know it, actually. It's not that hard. What are the commandments? Love God, love your neighbor. In one sense, anything that is not out of that, that's simple enough. Otherwise, we know what it is. Now, let's go back to the pastor. If you knew a pastor who loved money more than God, and if you knew a pastor whose words were filled with profanity and cussing and all kinds of vulgar language, if you knew a pastor who never stopped working, worked day and night every day of the week, if you knew a pastor who called people names and belittled them, if you knew a pastor who was lewd and lewd and crude, you know what I mean. If you knew a pastor who could never be trusted, who told lies, if you knew a pastor who was never content with what they had, what would you say? Would you listen to such a pastor? Would you say that such a pastor is doing right or doing wrong? Of course not. And of course, what have I just done? I've just gone through the Ten Commandments, listed the Ten Commandments. We know they are wrong. Now, however, if I had used the phrase a businessman who loves money, who is aggressive, uses profanity, never stops working, puts his employees down in order to get ahead, sort of a different set of rules, right? If your brother or sister sins, you must rebuke the offender. And then comes the real kicker. And if they turn back and say, I'm sorry, I was wrong, you must forgive. And in fact, Jesus pushes them farther and he says, if they do it seven times a day, if seven times a day your spouse says something to you critical and demeaning and they turn around and say, I'm sorry, then seven times a day you say, you are forgiven. I have forgotten it. It is no longer a matter between the two of us. Do you have any wonder that the disciples said, Lord, increase our faith? They said, we can't do this. This is too big. And he says, faith has nothing to do with it. He said, faith matters so little. You have such little faith that if your faith was as big as a grain of mustard seed, you could say this plant be up and gone and be gone. Faith has nothing to do with it. It has to do matter with doing what you're told. Let's put it in some other context. Where's Cheryl? Cheryl, we'll pick on Cheryl. Cheryl, does it matter if when you're all playing the guitars and Mark is playing a C sharp instead of a C? Does it matter at all? It matters. It matters to you. And you wouldn't think stop of saying to Mark, Mark, that's a C, not a C sharp. And you would say that if you had to say it seven times in practice, would you say it? Well, and Paul does indeed say that we are to do it gently and with love and with humility, looking to ourselves so that we ourselves do not fall into the same trap and same sin. Coaches. Do I have a coach? I have a coach here. You want me to pick on Chris? Chris. She's the one that volunteered you. Okay. All right, now let's say that Emily has a problem that she loves to hog the ball. That she loves to take the ball all the way down by herself. And the problem is that she scores once out of 10 times, which is probably pretty good. 2 out of 10 times. That's a little better. She does it 2 out of 10 times. But that's not soccer, is it? Would you say to her, Emily, you need to pass the ball. You need to do this. You would say that to her. You wouldn't feel bad about it. And would you yell at her? You wouldn't yell at her. You're good. We expect that in music and in sports. And let's up the ante. Anybody teaching their teenager to drive right now? Been there? Done that? It's it's kind of a nervous feeling, but when you say, move a little to the left, move a little to the right. You're not trying to be mean. You're trying to stay alive. You know, there are serious consequences if you are left to center, if you turn too wide. You're not being mean when you say, you better stop doing that. Well, I must admit, the thought did cross my mind because I was sitting in that seat, yes, not too long ago, but it is not personal. Because we all need to learn that, and we think nothing about it. But what happens? What happens if Cheryl's music has C sharps instead of the natural C, or does not have? What happens? Well, if what happens if Cheryl's music is not music, what happens is that the person out here who most needs to hear and have the song in their heart released, they may not hear it. Or what happens if Emily never learns to be a team player? What happens if Emily never learns to share, never learns to work together? In one sense, soccer doesn't matter all that much. I mean, it really does when we win districts and regions. But after that, it doesn't matter. Don't say that to Chris. Soccer? But I mean, in a certain sense, yes, it matters very much. But life or death does not depend on this. But whether Emily learns in her life to be so proud that she thinks she can do it herself, now that matters, and could bring about your eventual destruction. And we all know that. But how many of us are unwilling to have someone, even someone close to us, say to us, you know, your pride is a very dangerous thing, Doug. Because Chris is willing to say that to me. Or any one of us. There may indeed be consequences. What Jesus is saying is significant. Not because we don't know this to be true, because we know all this to be true, but because we fail to believe and know two things. The first thing is, in one sense, it really doesn't matter if a C sharp or a C natural is played. I mean, yeah, it's a whole lot better when it isn't, but the building will not fall down if it doesn't happen. In one sense, Jesus has utterly forgiven all sins. Jesus has said, the sins are forgiven. They are taken care of. The reason that we don't want someone to say to us, you are being proud, is because we think that if we're caught in sin, that means our death, destruction, and hatred by God. But the reality is, in Jesus, our sins are forgiven. Our relationship is not changed. It matters, but it doesn't matter, but it does matter. And the final, most important point, the reason that this is more than just go out and tell other people their faults so they can live right, is because it is the Holy Spirit within us who wants to change us, who wants to transform us so that we play with the full abilities of our bodies, whether that be music or sports, so that we live out of the fullness of what is life, so that we're not dying, so that we're not stumbling and causing other people to stumble, and even with tragic results. What Jesus wants in us is a life that's lived in total harmony and cooperation with Him and with one another. And the way we learn it is in our relationships with others. That's why Jesus says, when you've done something what we think is utterly stupendous, forgiving some great and terrible sin that someone has sinned against us, you just simply say, I just taken out the garbage. It was nothing more than that. Amen. We rise for the gospel. The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 17th chapter. Jesus said to his disciples, "Occasions for stumbling are bound to come, but woe to anyone by whom they come. It would be better for you if a millstone were hung around your neck and you were thrown in the sea, than for you to cause one of these little ones to perish. Be on your guard. If another disciple sins, you must rebuke the offender. And if there is repentance, you must forgive. If another disciple sins against you 7 times a day, and 7 times a day turns back and says, 'I repent,' you must forgive." Apostle said to the Lord, "Increase our faith." The Lord replied, "If you had faith the size of a grain of mustard seed, you could say to this mulberry bush, 'Be uprooted and planted in the sea,' and it would obey you. Which one among you, if your slave comes in from plowing or tending the sheep in the field, would say to that slave, 'Come over here and take your place at the table'? Do you not instead say to the slave, 'Prepare supper for me, put on your apron and serve me while I eat or drink. Later you may eat or drink.' Do you thank the slave for doing what was commanded? So you also, when you have done everything you have been commanded, say, 'We are worthless slaves. We've only done what we ought to have done.'" The Gospel of the Lord. You may be seated, and I would invite the children to come down for the children's sermon. Shouldn't have given it away. It's Ginger's doing. Well, good morning, boys and girls. Ginger is not here today because she is on vacation. And so she asked if I knew how to do a children's sermon, so I'm going to give it a try. I want to talk to you. I don't know if you heard what I said when I was up here, but when I was learning that, I was saying, boy, this stuff is really confusing. It is really kind of hard to understand. What am I going to say to you to make it so you can understand? So I want to ask you a question. What is a tattletale? You've had people say to you, "Don't be a tattletale." What's a tattletale?
Someone that tells on people.
Okay, they tell on people. Now, what kinds of things might they tell about?
Little things.
Little things, for example?
Shoving.
You're walking down the hall in the school, and somebody shoves somebody else. So if you go and tell the teacher, you're being a tattletale. Right? All right. What would you say, is being a tattletale a good thing or a bad thing?
Bad thing.
Bad thing, yes, yes. Nobody wants to be called a tattletale. Do you know what Jesus says in this lesson here in so many words? He says, be a tattletale. Be a tattletale. But first, before you're a tattletale, now, when this person is shoving, what's the first thing you should say to the person who's doing it?
I have no idea.
You have no... You do too have an idea! All right.
Call me.
Well, what would you say to me? What would you say to me? What would you say to me?
Stop.
Stop! Is that so hard? Did you not know how to say that? Stop! Yeah, you tell Buddy, stop doing it. Now, I'm not the kind of person that's going to stop. All right, are you ready?
No.
Okay, good. Because I was going to hit you hard enough to send you flying all the way over there. All right, when a person is about to be hurt, you should tell them to stop. Now, let's say, for example, any of you play baseball? No. I know you don't play baseball. Soccer. Anybody play soccer here? Okay. You kick ball, soccer, same thing. This is what happens. You kick the ball, and you really get your foot into it, and it goes over the fence and into the neighbor's yard, who has said to you, if I ever catch you in my yard again, I'm going to skin you alive.
Bring it on.
Bring it on?
Bring it on, old man.
Bring it on, old man. You live out in the country, don't you? You're not used to living in town. Now, let's say that you decide that you don't want to go up to the door and face this old man and his nasty temper, that you're just going to jump over the gate, get your ball, and get back. And let's say not that you don't do it, but your friend does it. Okay? Do you go tell your mom about it? Do you tell your dad about it? Why not?
Do they always have to know every bit of our lives?
That's right. Because that was a problem you could solve yourself. You didn't do anything dangerous. You didn't hurt anybody. Same situation, same thing again. This time, you kick the ball over the fence, across the four-lane highway, into the middle. Your friend crosses and climbs the fence and is starting to cross the four-lane traffic, which is 71, zipping up and down. Do you tell a parent? Like, how soon? Like, right now. Mom, Dad, come and get Johnny. Johnny's about ready to run into the middle of traffic. You would tell him, right?
Who's Johnny?
Johnny is a mythical friend because I didn't want to use you as the example. But it's a good question. When Jesus is talking in this thing, he says, if someone is about to do something that hurts someone else or hurts them, first of all, you're to say to them, stop doing that, it's dangerous, and if they won't listen, then to go tell someone else. Now, I'm going to say it to the adults a little more strongly than that, but that's the essence of what it is. Thank you. You can go back to your seats.